The president had been erecting a great edifice in America out of the rubble of the Depression, and he was determined that it would stand, prosper, and enlarge, even while his attention had to be directed elsewhere. He would allow no one to use the wartime emergency as a pretext for taking advantage of his fellow citizens. He believed in our moral superiority over our foes, and he would make sure that that high moral tone was clearly visible, even under stress. During the celebration of Washington's birthday, he compares the nation's task with the insuperable ones that faced Washington, and he quotes pertinently from one of our heroes, the revolutionary pamphleteer Tom Paine.
My fellow Americans, Washington's birthday is a most appropriate occasion for us to talk with each other about things as they are today and things as we know they shall be in the future. For 8 years, General Washington and his Continental Army were faced continually with formidable odds and recurring defeats. Supplies and equipment were lacking. In a sense, every winter was a valley forge. Throughout the 13 states there existed fifth columnists and selfish men, jealous men, fearful men, who proclaimed that Washington's cause was hopeless and that he should ask for a negotiated peace. Washington's conduct in those hard times has provided the model for all Americans ever since, a model of moral stamina. He held to his course as it had been charted in the Declaration of Independence. He and the brave men who served with him knew that no man's life or fortune was secure without freedom and free institutions. The present great struggle has taught us increasingly that freedom of person and security of property anywhere in the world depend upon the security of the rights and obligations of liberty and justice everywhere in the world. We know now that if we lose this war, it'll be generations or even centuries before our conception of democracy can live again. And we can lose this war only if we slow up our effort or if we waste our ammunition sniping at each other. Patriotic and sensible Americans will recall some of the things that Nazis and Japanese have said and are still saying about us, but that Americans are soft and decadent, that they cannot and will not unite and work and fight. From Berlin, Rome, and Tokyo, we have been described as a nation of weaklings, playboys, who would hire British soldiers or Russian soldiers or Chinese soldiers to do our fighting for us. Let them repeat that now. Let them tell that to General MacArthur and his men. Let them tell that to the sailors who today are hitting hard in the far waters of the Pacific. Let them tell that to the boys in the flying fortresses. Let them tell that to the Marines. Never before have we had so little time in which to do so much. These are the times that try men's souls. Tom Paine wrote those words on a drumhead by the light of a campfire. That was when Washington's little army of ragged, rugged men was retreating across New Jersey, having tasted naught but defeat. And General Washington ordered that these great words written by Tom Paine be read to the men of every regiment in the Continental Army. And this was the assurance given to the first American armed forces. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the sacrifice, the more glorious the triumph. So spoke Americans in the year 1776. So speak Americans today.